in the majority, I was the chairman. So I didn't share any notes. In fact, when Wayne Harris made me the deputy chair of this, he said, I don't know if you can handle this. All right, what we do is we have a very full agenda, so I want to move along rather quickly. I'm going to try to follow the agenda. Anybody that's here that are going to speak, I'd ask you to limit it as much as you can. I don't want you to not say what you want to get across, but try to make it as brief as possible because, like I said, we have a stack of resolutions here, and I just lost my agenda. No, that's not what
it was. That's just the contract list.
You know, ready. All right. So, all right. We'll call the meeting to order. The attendance. We have everybody's here. Out of the five of us, myself, Lynn Archer is to the left of me. Don Gregorius is to the left of me, and then Mary Waro and is the deputy chair, and Craig Lopez is over here. So. What I want to do is I want to jump right into the approval of the minutes. We have to get that done. That is some housekeeping here for January 22nd meeting. Do I accept the minutes? Motion accepted. Seconded by Ann and Lynn, rather. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. On the other minutes, the February minutes.
This is when there was only three people. Yeah,
okay. So the on the other one, is that the February one?
Yeah, the February one.
For the February minutes, there was only three of us, three here, so only those three would be able to.
Well, I shouldn't be on the.
You were here in February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're not on the January.
No, that was February. Did we just do the January?
We did the January.
Okay, I shouldn't be on the January.
And then the other one. Now, this is February, so are you?
February is all right.
All right, fine. So I make entertain a motion to accept the minutes?
Yeah.
Second it? Okay, fine. You can vote on that. So okay. The three is on that. That's good. All right, they're out of the way. All right, we begin with the arts, the Midnuts and Arts, which have renamed themselves, which is very nice. And we have a resolution here before us in reference to that. Did you wish to speak?
I'm Linda Martin Reed. I am the executive director at Arts and Midnuts, and I just want to say thank you for the funding last year. And thank you for also noticing that we changed our logo on the form that you have that Eve passed out. You're going to see our new logo on there, and it's going to take a while for everybody to get used to saying that. I do want to just give you one little sound bite that you can all think about from the funding last year, and that is from the grantee, Mount Stryker Arts, who got funding. He was awarded $7,000 in 2012, and that was for the last year's period. And here's what he said. The final amount directly raised for our fiscal year 2014 as a result of this grant award is $40,750, with an additional $5,000 still pending, plus an additional multi-year award of $20,000 from NISCA, which is New York State Council on the Arts, and an annual $6,500 from New York State Dance Force as now a lifelong member. And in case you don't recall, they asked for a capacity building for somebody to help them write grants and, you know, kind of keep them on track. And so your belief in the arts and your small investment that you put out there really brought a lot more funding back here to Alton County.
Well, I also would like to thank you for what you guys do. Wonderful job, and we could not ask for anything better. Eve, the way you handle this money, and I know what it was like in the past, and, you know, Don could attest to it. It was really nonsensical the way it was done in the past. It was done just because somebody knew somebody, and you would throw them some money. So the way you guys do it, you make sure that we get the most bang for the buck. and I'd like to see even more next year going into this, and we'll work on that.
Yeah, I just had two. I've seen even their team working in the county office building, and they've seen that they had deliberations, very long, full days, with a lot of people in and out, and it seems like they're doing a very good job. For sure.
And I'll just let you know what I left everyone was just the award reception book up from last year, which shows people that funded last year. There's a draft of what the current application would be, because we'll never, the resolution passes, we'll start rolling out the application form for people working on it. And just a couple of sheets are showing like how many applications that we have normally gotten and how many got funded and how many new applications. And really significant is the request amount. And then how much we're able to fund. So people are really looking for funding, and it's a great help.
As funding for arts are shrinking, this is great. I really appreciate the effort you put in for the local artists. So yeah, it's great.
And I also want to point out that Don was very instrumental in putting this together the way they did this. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept Resolution 73 and funding the Arts Mid-Hudson, formerly known as Dutchess County Arts. Moved by Don Gregorio, seconded by Lynn Archer. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Alrighty, the next one is the Ulster Performing Arts Center. I don't think Chris is here, correct? And now that's an allocation of $18,750. I entertain a motion to accept Resolution 74 for. Second by Don Gregorius. All those in favor? Alright, Ulster Community Action, he made it here, I'll put him off. He said he was coming, and he called me today and said he was going to be here. Casa, is the person from Casa here?
I sent him to the county office building.
So he might be here?
He might be here later.
Okay, well, I'll put him off until the end. I'll put him off also.
Alright, we'll go to 77.
So we're going to 77. Which is the Family Woodstock.
Hello.
And we have Michael with us.
Good evening. Just so people are clear, the program that we're talking about is a supervised visitation program authorized by the family court judges. In instances where a CPS case has been founded, that supervision would be done by DSS's CPS unit. In instances where it has not been founded or it's been left uncertain, the supervision will be done by us. In 2013, we served 207 families. We arranged 462 visits. We conducted 360 visits, and we reported to the court 115 times. The court wrote letters to you demonstrating that they were very happy with the program. We were very committed to it. About 3 or 4 years ago, the funds for it was cut as part of a general resolution by the legislature. Since that time, we have to fundraise to make up the difference. I'm hoping and I believe that the resolution will restore that money and allow us to cover the costs. We're talking about $20,000 to run over 360 and do all supports. We found that we're quite cost effective.
Well, anybody have any questions?
I have to.
I just want to make sure that we're talking $20,000.
Yeah.
Yes. I can attest, Michael, in this program, he fills a very important gap. These are families that often fall through the cracks and not receive the services because they don't fall into the general category of supervision. And so, again, it's a valuable service. I mean, the legislature's investment is wise, and he accomplishes an awful lot for this very small community.
Right, and a lot of this has to do with the children themselves.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that
and I want to say that, in a lot of this. Times, the non-custodial parent is recognized as being able to relate to the child and to regain seeing the child, which to me is very important.
Without a doubt. All right, I entertain a motion to accept resolution number 77.
So moved.
So moved. Second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And one abstain.
Thank you. County Library Association. James is here. James, you can give us a little bit on your program, of course.
Be happy to. It reminds me of a time, I think, maybe when you were chair, Dave, that I gave a presentation to the full county membership. And then I came next year with my screen projector, and I had legislators walk up to me and say, you've got a better chance of making more money, getting more money if you don't. So I did not bring my projector and my son and my dog and my pony. We want to thank you for the funding that you're giving us. Since 2007, I realized all of you heard the basics before. For Lynn's sake, I'll mention that what we've been doing through 2007 is, before that, we used to receive money from the county back for like 20 years, and then we would have a formula that we would portion it out to all of our 21 libraries, public libraries. In 2007, we came up with this info portal, which was basically a collection of databases that all the libraries and all the members of the public who have library cards get access to, get remote access to. And they're a collection of anything from language learning opportunities to things for children. There's tumble books, there's animated storybooks. This is Margie Menard.
Yes, hi.
Treasure Association. Her main job is
she's the important one. She's got the money.
I'm handling the money.
And so every year, the members, the county provides us with the funds, and we try to provide our expertise on finding out what people want. And we change it up every once in a while with what the products, the knowledge products, databases is such a terrible word for it. There's not a good word for it, but. There's a number of databases, just go back to that word. We're finding out that people are more interested in, as our culture changes very quickly, more e-books. We're looking for funds for mobilizing these same databases onto tablets and smartphones for people who can get them on the go, find out what's going on. At the library, if a member of the public is at a bookstore and they see a book and they're interested and they don't know where they want to buy it, they could just hit it with their smartphone and tell them whether we have it in the library catalog. I appreciate which we all share. And that way they can say if it's so, it's buying it. So I'll just give it at the library.
And it supports all the libraries in the area.
in all circumstances.
Right. Yep. All the.
And that's one of the great things about this funding, about this info portal and these resources. It provides equal access and equal resources to everyone, regardless of whether you're at Kingston Library, which is the largest library, or one of the small libraries in the smaller community. Everybody has equal access to all the same resources.
Yeah, we'd be for
as long as they have internet app,
right?
Which is one of the things I have a big concern about. That's right. The challenge. We have a lot of remote areas that don't have that.
And as libraries, we do try to provide that technology center. Mm-hmm. It's not at home, but we do our best.
Right. Oh, so it's at each library as well. That's right.
Yeah. So you can log on at the library or from your home.
Right.
And we have looked at that as that's an issue as a bandwidth
challenge, yeah.
And because we can't seem to get, you know, like county-wide, there's different vendors, and it gets a bit complicated. But we, as an association, we definitely are concerned with that.
So, right, because the money used to be we would give it out by each library.
Each library, and sometimes there was duplication.
And,
there was
right. And some of them had taxing authorities from didn't, and it was, and so we went about making that change.
Yep.
So it's very transparent. There's no one's, and in fact, we work with the Hudson Library System, so we get some great deals. In other words, one of these databases, historical New York Times, which is the entire, from the 1851, I think, for the first issue, up till pretty recently, in 2010, I think now, you can get access to that. That was purchased using Central Library money, so that was 50%, so we get a 50% discount, and then that's split up among five counties, so we pay a fifth of that. So we can have a $20,000 database, but we only cost the county $2,000.
Well, and there's economy, because you're centralizing your automation. You have a group that's supporting your whole system, so that's great.
Well, basically, the numbers once were almost $200,000 that we gave the libraries. That's 74 at this point. And so what they did was given lemons, and they made lemonade. Did a great job. I take a motion to accept resolution number 78. Done. Second. Amen. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Well, that's community action.
Yeah. Alrighty, we had the late Mike Lamoureux. Oh, you're still alive. But,
not according to my doctor.
Late the other day. Okay, Mike, what we're doing is just, just going to give us a brief thing on what you used our money for. Of course, you have, the Community Action does a great deal of things in the community. So rather than fill us in on all those, which you will do another time, and in fact, at some point, I would like to have our meeting at your place at some point. I'd like to do that. And the same thing, with Cornell, maybe if the libraries can figure out a spot where you can go to have a meeting with, one of those, I'd like to do that too. So, just to mix things up a little bit and give us the opportunity to see exactly what each of you do. But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I do apologize for being late. Mandatory physical, and all these doctors are late. Last year, what we used the money for was I come before you to rehab our kitchen, which has been in that position since 2002. We are now a fully licensed food establishment. We are now preparing and delivering foods to the Roundout Center. We're feeding 50 kids snacks and a hot meal every day. We also created a great community room. So what we did with the county money, and we combined some of our own resources, we have a beautiful community room now where people can come. It'll serve as our dining room space. We have a kitchen. And because of the money that the county gave us, we were able to take our own resources and started a new program called the Mobile Food Pantry. We are delivering now 120 packages to seniors and disabled individuals throughout the county. Our goal is to get it up to about 200 starting in April. Right now we're delivering canned goods. Starting in April, we'll start delivering cooked foods and fruits and vegetables. This is just a new program. We are struggling with how we deliver our services, whether we should be a distributor or a provider. And right now it looks like we're moving towards getting food to the food pantries and to the farthest remote areas of the county. So your money has put us on the map. We also have some signs, and we're trying a big comeback from where we were prior to 2000. So that's what we've done with your money, and it was graciously spent very quickly. So I'd love you guys to come over. We can serve you a meal now. We can handle up to 40 people in the dining area, so come on over.
Good. Alrighty, and now when do you do the fruits and vegetables and all that?
We do it once a month now, and every we'll do it three times a month. So what we're doing, we deliver food to Yasmin, Governor Clinton, Stuyvesant, two places up in Shandaken area for Rupco, and some places down in Ellenville and Highland. So we're expanding all around that. So the fruits and vegetables generally come right around April three times a month. Last year we brought in 275,000 pounds of food. We expect to bring in just short of 500,000 pounds of food just for our agency to serve the individuals. Our numbers are up 30% over last year.
Very good, Mike. I'd entertain a motion to accept resolution. Jump to that. Does anybody want to ask Mike any questions? No? All right, I entertain a motion to accept resolution 75.
I'll move it.
Moved by Craig.
Second.
Seconded by all those in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Cuss is here.
Rich is here from CASA.
Good evening, everyone. My apologies. I didn't have a doctor's appointment to the computer process. So it's a pleasure to be here.
You weren't sent to the wrong place by anybody, were you?
No.
You come try better in the future.
What we were able to do last year we increased the number of children who were served by a CASA advocate. We trained an additional 17 advocates. These are individuals from the community who go through a 40-hour training, background checking, and screening, and then are paired with the child who has been abused or neglected and is either in foster care or in direct placement under county supervision. And we served a total of 82 children last year, which was an increase over 70 the year before. What we continue to do is advocate for the most appropriate placement, and in particular, if the child is in a placement that is more restrictive than they need, and usually also costs the taxpayers more, we advocate for, with family court, for more appropriate placement. We work with others who are involved in the child's case to secure services for them. One thing we were able to do last year is for several children we were appointed to through a relationship with a local chapter of an organization called The Home Within, we were able to link up several children with therapists in the area who provide therapy to them at no cost. These are private therapists who agreed to serve one child who is in foster care and provide therapy to them for as long as they need to. It's an alternative to children receiving therapy through Medicaid, which, through taxpayer-funded therapy. And it's something that's been working very well in the cases where we've been able to do that. We advocate for permanency, which means removing the child or getting the child out of foster care or out of direct placement as expeditiously as possible, and ensuring that they have a safe and permanent home of their own. And then the other thing we do is two other things rather. Assist in the case was making sure the child gets the services that the court is mandated, and when there's a problem, we attempt to work with others to move through those problems so that the child can get what they need. And then the final thing that we've been doing at the request of family court is continuing to monitor and work with families when children are returned to their parents on a trial discharge. It's a period where they return back to their parents, their court case remains open, but the amount of supervision they get decreases significantly. It's also, in many cases, the time of greatest stress and the greatest likelihood of the child re-entering foster care. Over 80% of the parents of the children we deal with have substance abuse issues, so you can imagine the stress of being sober and having your children return to you while you're looking for a job can be enough to move some people over the edge. And so our volunteers continue to visit with the child in the home and make sure everything's going okay. If it's not, letting the Department of Social Services know and letting family court know.
And I think people should probably understand that if a child is put in a more restrictive type of a placement, that costs the county probably about $135,000 a year. Is that
depends on what it is. That's at least.
Is that the number around that now?
It depends on what type of support services and the other
right.
type of needs that they have. I mean, I could point to some that are well over $200,000.
Right. Yeah,
right. It depends
crazy.
On the facility because different facilities have a different daily rate, but it is.
But so they have a psychiatric.
So the point is, they advocate to get them into less restrictive, and usually the less restrictive is a better situation. But anyway, I like what you guys do, and you really that $24,000 is very, very well spent. You saved us more than that, probably saves us more than 10 times that, no more. I'd like to entertain a motion. Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to mention that my wife is one of the CASA volunteers.
Very nice.
She just says it's a very worthwhile program. And, it's a people-to-people kind of
well, the program. Courts rely on them.
It's centered around the child, and that's the thing with all the adults having lots of different advocates for different areas, because to have someone who's concerned with
child
and reports directly to
that's right,
And I understand you have an increase over prior year, right? And,
right.
and do you expect to see it more this year as well? Has it been steadily going up?
It has been. The last few months have been somewhat difficult. And we're attempting to try to resolve some of those issues, primarily with the Department of Social Services. But if we're able to resolve those, I think it will continue. We're not wanting for volunteers. I have another 6 who are training right now. So we definitely have people who want to do this and who step up to do this. And just to give you another sense of what they give, it's generally between 10 and 15 hours a month that a volunteer gives. And they put the bill for traveling. We don't reimburse for mileage. So they're visiting the child wherever they are, whether that's Cahompton or Albany. Some kids are placed into Lucas in Albany or across the river in Dutchess County or in the southern part of the county. Where they are is where the volunteer goes.
Yeah, I have a friend who volunteers. Sherry Chachkin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
No,
good. And I should say, Jim's wife, Elizabeth, is one of those cases I mentioned where when the child in that case was returned to their mother's custody, Elizabeth continued to visit for a year during the trial discharge period to make sure things were still going well and to help when the child's mother was encountering difficulties.
That's great. So the money goes towards the training of the volunteers?
Training the volunteers, the paying of my salary, and we have a part-time program assistant.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Well, I entertain a motion to accept Resolution 76.
I'll make them.
All righty, and I'll second. You don't mind? This has been something of mine for a very long time. All righty. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Society, Cornell Cooperative.
Biggest news that we have to share is in most of the newspapers is the buying, purchasing of the Gill Farm property by the Novo Foundation and turning that into an educational organization that will work with new and existing farmers to increase their abilities to farm profitably and environmentally soundly. And we're really very excited about that. We're a piece of that program, but not the whole program. We agreed to work with the New World Foundation. They're also funded by the Novo Foundation to provide education and research-based education as we have in the past. They provided us with a significant amount of dollars to increase our staff, so we went from two folks who were working directly for agriculture in Ulster County to eight, along with a regional program called Eastern New York Horticulture, which unites all of the cooperative extension ag personnel from Clinton County on down to Westchester. We pay into that program. That's what some of your county dollars go to, and it gives us access to all of the expertise that Cornell has in those various things. Some of them are Cornell funded positions. Most of them are association positions like we have. Our budget this year is well over $5 million. At least $2.5 million of that is monies that we're receiving from various grants and contracts that will be plowed back into the county, whether to landowners or to cooperating groups and organizations. So we have $2 million from New York City DEP through our Shoshone Basin program. That money is offered to towns, landowners, et cetera, to in the upper focus for folks to be able to do projects that will increase the quality of the water. So that covers a lot of ground. So they range in size from $5,000 to, when you're working with towns, much more than that. There's a committee that we work with that helps make the selection along with DEP. So that's money that we're given. We hold it. We worked out the process along with a volunteer group and whatever on how that money will be determined. DEP provides the oversight to make sure it's done under the auspices that they're looking for. We have a couple of other grants and contracts where we're doing the same kind of thing, but we're contracting with local organizations and groups and City of Kingston and a lot of our nutrition grants that we have and our grants that we're working with to change environmental policy so that we can have healthier places for our folks to live. So we have one from the State Health Department with this Creating Healthy Places. The other one that we did this with was with Robert Wood Johnson money. That grant just ended, and we're looking to transfer that into other activities. So we're given money, and then because the emphasis is on collaboration, that's what we do. So we're able to then funnel money into groups and organizations like Kingston Parks, the hospital for doing some of the work that they're doing in schools, et cetera, all based around raising awareness of the environment and food choices that folks make at all levels. And from the Robert Wood Johnson grant that we worked with, which was we called Healthy Kingston, that program was the one that actually helped set up folks with collaborations and whatever. And I think the direct result, that was the way Cooperative Extension works in a lot of these grants is we take these on, they're 5-year grants, 6-year grants, 4-year grants, 3-year grants, and our goal is to get the community involved around these areas and have them continue. Robert Wood Johnson said, you got this money to do this, a substantial amount of money, you got 5 years, and then we're done, and don't come back. So it's like, okay.
So anyway, we were able to do that, and I think we're very successful in that grant, especially in environmental policy, complete streets, etc. And the city of Kingston, I think, was able to take some of that work that was started from that group and parlay that into quite a bit of the money that they got from the regional pots of money to do trails and enhance environments and whatever. So that's sort of the basis of how Cooperative Extension is working in these areas. We have some information that we handed out to you. I'd like to bring one of my, Liz Higgins, my ag program leader, to the next meeting to answer any questions you might have about the Farm Hub and our role in that. Don't want to do it today because I knew that we were really short on time. Would love to have host this committee at our meeting. And one of the other things that we're doing...
Next month?
What's that?
Next month?
Next month will be fine. We can do it next month.
All right, good.
Okay.
Next month we'll be there.
Next month will be the extension. Yeah. That would be great. It's a quicker walk. He could just walk down the hill or whatever. Come on
just
down.
Speed.
One of the things that so we have a substantial budget. It looks huge. We struggle like every other educational not-for-profit on trying to pay our bills. We're still struggling with how to pay utilities and rent because it's not something that we did for years of existence. We've only done that for like the past 2 or 3 years. And most of the grants and contracts that we had already been done, so you can't go back to them and say, oh, we're paying rent now, could you throw a little more money into the pot? So we are struggling with that to try and figure out how to make all of that work and keep the amount of programming going that we're doing. So the county dollars are incredibly important to us. It's a small part of our budget, but they are absolutely critical. It gives us access to state funding that we wouldn't have otherwise. It's based on the amount that the county gives us. And also in working with grants and contracts, showing that the county supports and values our program, we use that a lot. One of the things that we'd like to do, we know we have some new legislators, some folks that have heard about Cooperative Extension but don't really know what we do. We've tried to do lots of educational programs and tours and whatever. So this year we're trying a different strategy, and so we're working with our board and program committees, our volunteers, and our staff, and some of our older teens in our 4-H Youth Development Program. And so we're going to be contacting you. And asking for 20 minutes of your time so that we can interview you and find out what your issues are in the in your areas that you represent and whatever, and to find out whether we're hitting the mark in that, if there's things that we need to change or move or whatever. So if you get a call, I hope that you'll understand why it's coming. And we figured that this is easier than trying to do the dog and pony show that last for a couple of minutes or whatever. You get a lot of information from us because that's what we do. But my sense is that with all of the stuff that you have to do, you have limited amounts of time to really get into and peruse this. So this is one way that we're looking to reach you and get your input back to the kind of programming that we're doing, because basically what we do is for the residents here in Ulster County.
All right. I entertain a motion to accept Resolution 79, funding Cornell Cooperative. Moved by Senator Lopez, seconded by Gregorius. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry about that. And all those in favor? I have before I get to the other ones was you're going to jump a couple of them because we have ones that are dealing more with scholars. So. And maybe you can fill us in on enrollment prior to it. You can give us a minute on that. And then we'll go into the other because I'm using updates for that anyway. So I'd like to
I think for the last two public hearings, we reported that we plan to return to pre-recession numbers in terms of enrollment. That is not happening. Our enrollment is staying very strong. It is going down slightly, but we've been very pleased. It may mean that the economic recovery in Ulster County is not happening as quickly as other parts of the country. Traditionally, our enrollments go up in times of recession, and they did in the fall of 9 and 10, actually increased by 100 FTEs. We increased our enrollment by 10% in 2 years. But it is staying healthy. We will exceed our enrollment projections for this budget year, and that's always a good place to be, getting more money on tuition than we expected. We're off to a good start this spring, and we're currently registering high school students to participate in our collegiate program that are actually taking college courses taught by qualified high school teachers during the day while they're in high school. And we expect, about 45 FTEs to be coming in, and it usually takes about 6 weeks to get all of the high school students registered. So again, we think we're going to have a very good year in terms of enrollment. One of the resolutions in front of you for tonight's consideration is the renovation and repair of the Kelber Center. This is being recommended. Since you know, we sold the president's residence at the request of the county executive. And we really do need a place for formal receptions, special functions, and college fundraising activities that we used to conduct at the president's residence.
Are you living in your car now? Or?
No, I.
One for the team.
There's going to be a bed that falls out from that door right there.
It's got a Murphy bed.
No, Lily and I kept our house in Hurley. And when I became president, we part and has been part since we owned the president's residence. Part of the contract. So we were living there basically during the week, and some weekends we'd be back at our own home in Hurley. But I told the trustees, absolutely, I'll live in the house if that's a condition of the contract and getting the job. But we wouldn't be selling our own house because when you tell me it's time to pack up and get the heck out, we want a place to be. We want to stay in Ulster County. So we moved back to Hurley. Anyway, we have a Kelber. Kelber Center now, which originally was Jacobson property house, just on the other side of the soccer field. And when we started this project, and Mark has reminded me that we've actually moved out a lot of the stuff we had in storage in the main old part of the building. But right now, it's vacant, and it is in definite need of repair. And what we are recommending is that we use. As you can see on the second page of the resolution, under financial impact, there is no financial impact to the county. We're not asking the county for any additional dollars to do this project. We do have to get your approval, the county legislature's approval, to establish it as a capital project. And if we don't do that, we can't use the SUNY Construction Fund money. That's a condition of using the state money as 50% of the project cost. I show you where, and that money was the state's portion of the sale of the president's residence, $191,629. The total project is estimated to cost $383,258. I did point out where the additional money is coming, the College Foundation, and a large part of that amount was represented the private donation that was made to the college to purchase the president's residence back in 1968. We also have part of the project has been covered by this NYSERDA grant money, and the college put in some money for some drainage work that has already been completed and will become part of the whole project. So we're not asking the county for an additional dollar. We're just asking for your approval so we can go ahead and work with the state to get the work done.
Yeah, I know the Kelder Center is in kind of rough shape, but I mean
it is. Yeah. We made the conscious decision to turn off the HVAC systems, and that's why it was cold storage. And it was Mark had a major problem to get everything cleared out of there. It really has fallen to really disrepair. So,
was there stuff still left over from your old tenant there?
We had offices in there for a while, and one part of the first floor was used as a classroom for about 10 years, but it just really wasn't needed any longer, and we turned it into storage. This will include the first and second floor renovations, a new roof, new siding. They're doing some concrete work down on the foundation. So it'll be working with an architect out of Glens Falls. Part of the cost of the project includes that of the architect, and that's $36,820.
Is it a house? Or
it is a house.
Oh, okay.
And what we did 27, 28 years ago with our first grant for the Small Business Development Center, we actually ran that grant that year, and we had a sizable amount of the appropriation unspent. And what we decided to do is build an addition onto the original farmhouse. So if you come
it's
during the day,
how old is it?
The house itself probably up over 100 years old.
Oh, okay.
But then we added a modular home to it and turned that into office space and classroom space.
Yeah, I think I went to a class in the modular there when I back in the 70s. Yeah, go ahead.
I heard you say NYSERDA as one of the funders, and I was wondering, what has been done by way of a building audit and in terms of energy efficiency and any other
right.
energy opportunities.
The NYSERDA grant was, it wasn't actually to us, it was to a private contractor to take the extension, the addition to the Kelder House, and to make it, I believe it's called a pressure house. And it's one of four that were funded by NYSERDA in New York State to teach sustainability energy techniques. There's a very complicated new and cooling system to teach people how to be more efficient in their use of energy.
So that's the one wing, right?
Right.
What about the older original
That's where
part?
The rest of this money will be used for the older part.
But I'm specifically asking you about energy efficiency, and it's challenging to renovate old buildings, but it's really, I don't want to see taxpayer dollars, whether they go directly to the college or through grants, miss an opportunity for energy efficiency. So I understood your explanation about the NYSERDA funds on the addition, but I'm also asking about the main portion of the building.
Well, we're working with an architect in terms of designing what is actually going to be done. I know it included in the estimates are replacement windows, work in the attic in terms of additional insulation. We're taking out the chimney and redoing the roof and new siding. All of those things, I'm sure, relate to the energy issues that you're referring to.
I don't want to take a lot of the committee's time on this, but I am a neighbor, and it's really important to me, so I wonder if maybe I could come in and have a more focused conversation.
Sure, certainly.
Thank you.
Maybe it'd be best if we had the architect come down.
Okay,
no.
Great.
All right, I need to entertain a motion for Resolution 94, the capital program.
I'll make that motion.
All righty. Seconded by Don. All those in favor? We'll jump back to 96, I'm sorry, because that's the dealing with the college, so we do that, it's both a combination. This is about many capital projects
for
open STRIDE program, SUNY Ulster satellite campus to improve cost and building acquisitions, design of green infrastructure elements, and additional architecture services.
Go ahead.
Sure. Chris,
why
don't you go ahead? Chris has joined us tonight.
Going to
meet on our STRIDE project.
Yeah. Ken will lie. He doesn't usually lie. Once in a while.
Do you guarantee that?
Don't guarantee it because he usually doesn't. That's why it's unusual.
So Resolution 96 is an amendment to the capital project for STRIDE, and it basically does three things. One is it increases architectural and engineer design costs by approximately $75,000. That's two elements. One is design of new green infrastructure elements for the project, and the other is additional things that have come up as the college has worked with the architect on the final design. The other things that it does, it authorizes the purchase of the building. We haven't done that previously. So you may know we have...
You're talking about the word site.
We're talking about Sophie Finn. Yeah, the Sophie Finn building. So just for the new legislators, we have a building right across from the hospital on Mary's Avenue, and we are subdividing the site from the Kingston High School property. It's about 6 acres, and it's a 32,000-square-foot building that would have been a vacant the elementary school closed last year, and it would have been vacant. So we've identified that as a future site for the Extension Center for SUNY Ulster. So we have not bought the building yet, but we've had a voter referendum by the Kingston City School District voters to approve it. We're working through final details on the easements, and so we figured we would get this queued up. We'll have a final, you know, agreement of sale come back with you at some point as well. And we did receive subdivision approval in December. We need to go back to the staff at the city just to finalize that once we have all the easements.
Has there been any work done on that building yet?
No, not from our side. The school district has taken all of the things that they wanted out of it. They're leaving behind very little. You know, they took the phone systems out. They've taken a lot of the technology equipment out, which is good because most of it, we just need the wiring. We didn't need their systems. The only physical work that's been there is inspection and hazardous material testing and some geotechnical testing to see, you know, it's up on top of a rock knob, so there's been quite a bit of
right.
geotechnical testing to see what we have below the surface. And then we're decreasing, you know, just slightly, about $9,000, some of the previous authorizations. So as every time that we come back to you with updates to this, we're trying to adjust both upward and downward the various line items that we have. I'll just talk for a minute about the green infrastructure, if I could. You may know the legislature considered a resolution and passed a resolution supporting the revised project in November. That didn't include green infrastructure. We then received a notice of award from the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation that we were could be awarded up to $439,000 for innovative stormwater elements. And that's really important in this part of the city because it's part of the combined sewer overflow. So, you know, any water that we discharge off that site during high rains, heavy rains, ends up displacing sewage into local waterways. And so it's really a win-win. The college can teach to the green elements of the project. We're sending less stormwater off the site. And frankly, it becomes a regional model. This is one of the first grants that's happened. We've had a lot of these grants go upstate. This is really one of the first in the Mid-Hudson Valley. So we hope it, you know, can be a teaching element, not just for the college, but regionally.
When do we look at getting in the building? In other words, when is the college going to have its first class?
We're hoping by the first semester 2015. That that's an aggressive timeline at this point. Frankly, this green infrastructure, while it adds a lot of benefits to the project, it slowed us down. We have to, we had basically designed for pervious pavement on the new parking area that we put behind the building. And we did so, you know, knowing that we were intending to get this, but we couldn't afford to do it without the grant. So it slowed us. It's going to slow us down a couple months. There's a lot of work to the green infrastructure grants. We have to do additional testing. We have to design the rain gardens, pervious pavement, the permeable block pavers that we have for courtyard areas. We have two green living walls that are going to be on the building. So it's great stuff, but it takes additional time to design.
We believe it's really worth it in the end. Really make it something very special.
I think the city also appreciated it. I mean, we were meeting stormwater guidelines without this, but we're going beyond now, and we're kind of giving them a model project.
So I have the same question, and by the way, congratulations. We're hearing more and more about green building and renewable energy. We're not hearing enough yet about green stormwater management in our cities to do what Chris said about unburdening the combined sewer systems and reducing the number of combined sewer overflows of raw sewage into the Roundout and ultimately the Hudson. Can you just in the thumbnail, and maybe I'll stop in and look at the plans here too, because this is of interest to me as well, but what are the energy benefits that, you know, have you looked at re-insulating the building and all of that? Is that part of the project?
We've tried to incorporate everything we could in terms of increasing the efficiency of the building and also reusing the elements in the building that exist. You know, like the greatest energy savings is us reusing a vacant building and minimizing the amount of interior and exterior demolition. So we've done things, firstly, through a design phase, for instance, like putting the elevator shaft outside so we don't have to dig through the floor of the building itself. That said, we are replacing all of the exterior windows, and we'll get a lot of efficiency out of that. That was needed not just from an energy efficiency function, but from an aesthetic and a performance function. All the lighting is going to be energy efficient, both inside and outside. We're doing LED lights so that, and again, it's a multiple win. Now we don't have to change bulbs every year. You know, we have bulbs that won't need to be changed for a long time. We have, there's a lot of abatement. I'll just mention, I know we have ACM, asbestos-containing materials, lead and PCBs in the buildings.
There were children.
I think it was built in 1960, wasn't it?
Yeah, 62. We actually have asbestos paint in some of it, which our building guys had never heard of. Never seen in a school, anyway. And the other thing I would just say is that we did consider LEED certification. We are actually not eligible for LEED certification because we're not installing a central chiller system. And the systems that we're using are univents, which are going to be energy efficient, and they're better for the performance of the building because in the summer we won't be using all of the classrooms. And rather than cooling the whole building, you can choose where you want to cool, and it's all on automated systems. So we've tried to take a good look at it, and I also have to say the Department of Environment took the lead on our green innovation grant, so it really has paid off having a Department of Environment that can focus us on stuff like this.
Any other questions? So that puts off, in other words, the move of information services and things like that a little bit.
Well,
they're all piggybacking.
There's been a lot of activity in that. The Flatbush Avenue building, where the health department was located, currently the only agency left in that building is purchasing. the purchasing will move into the county office.
By mid to late April.
By mid to late April. Currently, we've consolidated the health and mental health department in the Golden Hill office building. They relocated the last week in December. Everyone's interested, we're going to take it through. We really did really excited about how that worked out. And it seemed like it's a perfect fit. The Veterans Agency is currently located at the BRC. And they're located where UCDC was around the corner on the main entrance. And we also have the youth and human rights temporarily located at the Golden Hill office building as well, too. So we kind of, the goal was to move people out of the Flatbush Avenue site to prepare it for sale. And we've been kind of restacking and reorganizing, ultimately with the goal of planning for when the college moves into the property.
Do you have anybody interested in the Flatbush Avenue?
We've had some interest, but we're still working on a plan. I mean, there's a lot of complications with it. We want to make sure that we maximize the benefits. I mean, that's ultimately our goal, is to get it back on the tax rolls and maximize the revenue to the county for the sale. So we've been taking a longer-term view of it because we want to get it right.
Okay. Any questions? Ready. I entertain a motion to accept Resolution 96, amending the capital project number 370, Strive, SUNY Ulster Satellite Campus. All right, moved by Secretary Warner. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we do have three contracts in excess of $50,000 that we have to take a look at. One is the Ulster Home Care Incorporated. No, that's the breakdown of the contract. Yeah, no.
That's the unabstract.
Yeah, that's the unabstract.
It's got other things in it, too.
There you go. I can't get to it anyway. I may hurt myself. All right, so the contracts that would be the Ulster Home Care Incorporated. Ken, you want to fill us in quickly on that?
Sure, this is a standard personal care contract. These are staying in place dollars to like get another front of the office.
Right. I think I entertain that motion to accept Resolution 87.
Because the funds in it.
Mary?
All right. Yep.
Got it.
Archer.
Go ahead.
Archer and Laurel.
The
all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Done.
The contract that we have with RCAL, they do casework for the meals program and also for ISTEP, the caseworker, identify improvements to make people's homes, assistive devices to help them stay in place.
Right. Yeah, it's handicap accessible.
The new state dollars that allow us to help make a modification that allows them to stay in the home longer.
A motion to accept Resolution 88. Lopez. Morrow.
89 is, again, it's a standard personal care contract the rates.
What's that for?
89 is the same as 87. The personal care contract, $3 for the 80.
Is it a different contract?
Oh, right.
One contract is the low volume.
Okay.
Right, I got you. Right. It's the same. Basically the same.
With that?
Very caring to the same thing. All right, then. I'll second it.
Who was second?
All those in favor?
Who's second?
I did.
Craig?
Fine.
Okay.
Pick a name.
Yes.
Pick a name. Okay. Did you do the one for the Ulster Performing Arts Center?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that, Eve, because I knew Chris wasn't going to be here.
We did him in order.
We tried to do him in order, right? I like that ad there. Looking good there, buddy. All righty, do you have any... any other business that needs to be discussed? I don't think so. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yes. I'll move it.
All right. Mario and Archer, all those in favor?
Aye.
April would be April 3rd, the first Wednesday?
It would be.
Okay. I just want to make sure so we can get the room reserved.
Yeah, it's
the
first Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, it's always the first Wednesday. So
April 3rd,
5:30. 5:30, we will be meeting at Cornell Cooperative. That is in the
Let me make sure I go home with resolutions before everybody gets off.
Good seeing you, yes. We'll get that squared away. I'm glad you did. Thank you. I will too. So you want to stay another week? Oh, I read it every day.